there is not one single shred of evidence in the fossil records that a dog was anything ever but a dog.
What if you planned a huge party for your 20th wedding anniversary, you rent a large banquet hall, send out save-the-date cards months in advance, you send out invitations a full month in advance, and you include a map with directions for getting to the hall. Dozens of people promise to be there, but when the day arrives, only a few people show up. How could that be? Welcome to the Voice of Truth with Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. The Lord Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the exact date predicted hundreds of years earlier in Scripture, and he came in exactly the manner foretold by the prophets. And yet very few people around him understood the significance of the event. How could that happen? Pastor J.D. will explain more in his message, The Great Misunderstanding.
So here it was told that the King of Israel, the Savior, would present himself riding on the foal of a donkey, and Jesus fulfilled that condition. But there's more. The travel schedule of Jesus was pre-announced. I mean, you want proof positive? God gave the Jews a detailed itinerary of the travels of Jesus Christ 500 years prior to the birth of Jesus. Look with me at verse 44. Jesus said, "And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation." In other words, you didn't look at the itinerary. You should have known the exact day that I was coming. You should have known. It was given to you. Now, I didn't know this until recently, but you know, the White House, it actually publishes all the details of the president's travel schedule online. Did you know you could go to whitehouse.gov? And you can see everywhere the president was yesterday, everywhere that he is today, hour by hour. It's quite incredible. I didn't realize that. But, you know, that's not really such a technological feat with the internet and all that. It's not a big deal. But suppose that you could look forward in time. Suppose that you could look forward in time and you knew the exact schedule going forward. But let's take it even a little further. Suppose that you could look at a book. Now, use your imagination here for a moment. Suppose that you could go back and you could look at a book that was written 483 years ago. And let's say that 483 years ago, before the United States existed, as it is today, okay, so you say, well, Columbus came in 1492, but did you know that the president, the very first president of the United States, we all know it was George Washington, but he wasn't elected until when? I guess I'm the only one that knows the answer to this. I'm so smart this morning. 1789, George Washington elected in 1789. Now, if you start at 2013, if you go back 483 years, that takes you back to the year 1530. Okay, so in 1530, that's more than 200 years before we ever had a president. Someone, let's just say, they wrote in a book that in 2013, in 483 years, there would be a president of the United States, and they said he will be the 44th president, and that he would give his inaugural speech on January 21st, 2013. Oh, yes, and we must add to the prophecy that he would drive a Cadillac DTS limo. Back in 1530, if such a book existed, and you had that detailed future information in the book, and if you could now verify, and we can, and we look back, and we do know that the inaugural address was on January 21st, 2013. The president did indeed give his inaugural speech. You would think, well, that is the most amazing prediction that has ever been made. How many of you would like to have a book like that? Would you like to have that kind of a book? Do you know that you have that book right here? That's the Word of God. And we're going to show you this morning. God was so concerned that Israel would know the exact date of Jesus' arrival as king, when he would ride into Jerusalem, that he gave out his travel schedule 483 years in advance. And as we've seen, he even told us about the transportation. Riding in on a colt, the foal of a donkey. You know something? This book, the Bible, it's very detailed. It gives us everything we need to know. So I'm going to point you this morning to Daniel chapter 9, one of the good Old Testament prophecies. Daniel chapter 9, and we're going to just look at verse 25 for a moment. Daniel 9:25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and to build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince. Now let's just hold on a moment. When the prophet Daniel writes about Messiah the Prince, who's he writing about? Well, according to Jesus, he's writing about him. Jesus said that Daniel was writing about him. And he says, he goes on to say, you know, there shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times. Now this before us is nothing more or nothing less than an itinerary. But it's a Hebrew itinerary, and it requires just a little bit of explanation. Now you look at, you know, we think of a week as 7 days, right? Well, Jews thought of weeks of years. In other words, a week of years was a seven-year period of time. So we see seven, we have 62 weeks of years plus 7 weeks of years. And so what we have is we have 69 weeks of years. Now, if we multiply 69 times 7, what we have is 483 years. I did verify that. 483 years. Now, we have to adjust the calendar. You see, the Jewish calendar is a 360-day-a-year calendar. Our calendar is 365 days a year, so don't make that mistake. Now, you also must account for leap years. And so when you do all the math and you put all this together, you discover that there is an exact date that is given when Jesus would arrive, when he would present himself as king and as Messiah. Now, let's look at this date, this starting date, because we do know what that date is. God gives to Daniel a starting date for the countdown to the Messiah. The start date, he says, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. Do we know what that date is? Actually, we do. It's given to us in the book of Nehemiah. We know from the prophet Nehemiah, the commandment was given to Artaxerxes on March 14th, 445 BC. God reveals to Daniel that from March 14th, 445 BC, until the Messiah would be 173,880 days or 483 years. Now, would you agree with me that 483 years in advance is great notice? Imagine having someone's travel schedule in your possession for 483 years before they arrive. Granted, they didn't have iPhones. They didn't have the little calendar function, which I rely upon. But you know what they had? They had this book. They had these scriptures. And these religious men, they knew these scriptures inside and out. And they should have known. They should have known that date. Because, you know, they were smart men. They were intelligent. They were religious men. They knew the Word of God. They could have done the calculations themselves. They should have known. But they didn't. What is that date? Well, if you do the math, if you start at March 14th, 445 BC, with a 360-day calendar, you correct for leap years, you go out 173,880 days or 483 years, you will arrive at the date April 6, 32 AD. Now, you know what that day is? That is this day right here that we're reading about in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. You can do the math. You see how precise the Bible is? How exact the scriptures are that take us to the exact day when Jesus Christ would present himself as king and as Messiah. And you know, there's something to me that's just amazing. You can't prove evolution mathematically. You can't prove evolution through the fossil record. You have thousands and thousands of species in existence today, and according to evolution, they all came from a single cell, and somehow that cell evolved over billions of years into thousands of unique species, having male, having female, with tremendous capacity to hear, to smell, to think, to replicate. You know, but as far as the fossil record is concerned, listen carefully, I'm not just saying this. You can go home and do your homework. There is not one single shred of evidence that demonstrates that a cat was ever anything but a cat. There is not one single shred of evidence in the fossil records that a dog was anything ever but a dog. And you say, well, you know, if it evolved from one cell, a single cell, well, then certainly over the billions of years, there should be fossil records that show what a cat was before it actually evolved into the cat we have today, right? Or a dog, or a horse, or a cow. And there are thousands and thousands of species, but you know there is not one single shred of evidence in the fossil record that demonstrates that evolution must be true, and yet people believe it today more than they believe God. Here we apply a mathematical equation. This morning we've done that. A mathematical equation to a known calendar system. We've come up with an exact date, and that date can be corroborated through history. It proves that Jesus is who he claimed to be, and Jesus expected the Jews to know. And don't lose sight of the fact that he expects you to know too. He expects each one of us to understand and to know that he is the Messiah, he said, because unless you believe that I am, you're going to die in your sins. And what does that mean? What's that being polite for? Go ahead, say it. What is it? Hell.
I don't like that word.
That offends me. Don't talk to me about sin. Don't talk to me about hell. Listen, it's not my words. It's the words of Jesus Christ. He talked about it. And he's warned every one of us. And he said, unless you believe that I am, unless you believe that, unless you take it into your heart and your life and you believe it by faith, if you don't believe it, you're doomed. You're doomed to destruction. You're doomed to die in your sins. And that means one thing. It means hell. Now briefly, there is a third proof in this passage. It's based upon a prediction that Jesus made. Look at verse 43 again. We looked at it at the beginning, but it says, for the days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side, level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another. Jesus is giving history. He's giving the future right now. The history of the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, most of you know about that, but it's just a well-known, documented historical fact. The Roman general Titus, he surrounded the city on all sides exactly as predicted by Jesus. And you know, you can go to the dictionary or the encyclopedia and you can discover that. You can get the history of exactly how Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans, and it gives you detailed information. And what's interesting is that Titus, he actually requested that the Jewish temple be preserved. But a Roman soldier threw a burning stick into one of the temple's walls. The temple was completely destroyed. The Romans literally dismantled every stone in an effort to extract the gold that had been used in the construction. But how is it that in 32 AD, Jesus predicted exactly what would happen in 70 AD? How did Jesus know? Because he's God, who came to earth as a man. He is the Son of God, not just a man sent by God so that many would believe, but he is God in human form, and as God, he knows the future, and as God, he predicted, he prophesied exactly what would happen in 70 AD. And you can believe in evolution, you can believe that smoking a fresh cigarette is a great vacation for your throat. I think the scientists have made a great sales pitch, and people are gullible. But when God sent the Son of God into the world, he wanted to make sure there was no misunderstanding. And any intelligent person can reason if they will simply search the Bible. And there are countless people who did not believe. They were atheists, they were agnostics, and they sought to prove that this word was false, and they got into this word, and there are hundreds upon hundreds of people when they began to read the scriptures and understand these words, they came away with the conclusion that it's true. Because any reasonable person will. You can go through the prophecies. You can do the math. You can look at history. And it all equals one thing. The Word of God is true. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came into this world to save people from their sins. And on this day, recorded in Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, the exact day that God gave 483 years to the very day. And Jesus came and He presented Himself as King. For the nation of Israel, failure to know Jesus brought about their destruction. That's a historical fact. But failure to know Jesus as Savior and to believe in Him is far worse. The consequences are eternally catastrophic. You must believe. That's why everywhere Jesus went, He gave the invitation to all. The invitation was, first of all, He said, "Come. Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The invitation He gave was to believe in Me. He said, "And this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent." The invitation was to believe in the resurrection, and He said, "I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in Me, though he may die, he shall live." Jesus has proven Himself. Oh yes, it still takes faith. It is by faith that you come to Jesus. It is by faith that you know Him. It is by faith that you believe in Him. I'll tell you what, I'm sure glad I have faith in something that's been proven. If I had to have faith in evolution, listen, I'm a reasonable person. I think I have a certain degree of intelligence, and I have studied evolution. And I have studied what the scientists claim. I've studied it deeply. And I have studied this Word. I've studied this Word since I was 6 years old. And I can tell you without a doubt, I know which one is true. And I've put my faith and my trust in Jesus Christ, because He gave me and He gives you every reasonable reason to believe that He is the Son of God. And that when He came into Jerusalem on that day and riding the foal of a donkey, He was saying, "I'm the one. I'm the one that Scriptures have foretold of. I am the one. God, my Father, told you how I would come, and now I'm here." And He simply wants us to believe. So simple. What a great message. Father, we thank You that You have given to us this wonderful day. As we enter into this time of celebration, that we have the assurance, those of us here who are believers, oh, our faith is well-founded. Or we have proof. You have given to us absolute proof that is irrefutable. And we believe by faith. We thank You for sending Jesus. I thank You, Lord, that He has died for me on the cross and for all of the believers here, Lord, and washed our sins away. And as Jason said earlier, the only religion that relies solely upon grace. So thankful for the grace that You have given to us. And I would pray for any that are here this morning who do not yet believe. Maybe they've never thought seriously about it. It could be, Lord, there are some here, maybe just one even, who's bought in to the sales pitch, who believes that smoking the cigarette actually is a vacation for the throat, or that evolution is a fact. Father, we pray that You'd speak to that heart and into these lives this morning, Lord, and that Your Word would bring about just a tremendous sense of conviction as to that this really is the truth. Jesus Christ came into this world and He presented Himself as King to save each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand together. We have two groups of people here today. Really, as far as God is concerned, we have believers and we have unbelievers. You know, at the very end, or maybe I should say at the beginning, that's all that the Lord is going to look at. He's going to say, did you believe? Did you trust in my Son, Jesus Christ? Did you believe? And so we have believers and we have unbelievers. I believe that this message for the believer is just a great message because even as I study this, it just reaffirms my faith. It strengthens my faith. You know, I don't mind ever going up against somebody who's really steeped in evolution. I welcome it any time. Because I know this word and I know that it is powerful and I know that you can prove Jesus out of the Word of God. Whether they believe or not, that may be a different thing. But I stand very firm on this word. And a message like today, it just reaffirms. I don't know if it does that for you, but it does for me. And it's like, oh, I'm so thankful that, you know, I believe that. I'm so thankful that, you know, I just have that assurance. I know. And for unbelievers, it leaves you with a choice. Am I going to remain in my unbelief, or am I going to choose to believe that which seems very provable? And so we have these two groups of people, and this morning I would encourage you, if you're in that group of unbelievers, if you are here today and you've never taken this seriously, and maybe you've never even heard a message like this, we're going to have a few people down here at the front. Don't leave here. Don't leave here without knowing, because you see, you never know when your time is coming. Nobody knows. Every day we read things in the news and, you know, the fatal bus crash in California, a tragic event. College students, young people, their entire life in front of them. And do you believe that they thought when they got on that bus that within moments their life would be snuffed out? You don't know. And so you don't want to leave. If you're not a believer, you don't want to leave this place not knowing. Because when your time comes, if you haven't believed, it's too late, the Bible says. And so now's the opportunity. Don't leave here. Don't leave this place without first of all coming forward and knowing for sure and talking with somebody and praying and knowing that you're saved, that you're going to heaven. And so we encourage you to come down. In Jesus' name. You know, I do these little polls here at church. And I just have to ask you, how many of you just are amazed at the exactness and just the precise ability of the Word of God to make known the future? Does it amaze you when we bring out those numbers like that and we actually realize that the Bible is so precise that it's mathematical? It's not just a bunch of stories and mythology. It's serious stuff. And most people just don't know. They're gullible. And they don't know, and that's why they believe in evolution. They don't have a better answer. But when you really study the Word of God and you get into it, you begin to realize, you know, this book is so precise. This can't happen by accident. It happened because there's a plan that God's in charge of. And He's mapped out all of history. And so He chose to reveal to us the future so that we could know and we could believe and we don't have to worry about, well, could it be Mormonism is true? Could it be that Buddhism is true? Could it be that Islam is true? No. Because you see, they don't have a book like this. They don't have these predictions. They don't have these prophecies. And they don't believe in the true and the living God. And so, my call to get back to them.
You have been listening to The Voice of Truth with Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. For a copy of today's message, call 281-499-6301. That's 281-499-6301. And mention today's date, or you can visit our website at calvary.cc. That's calvary.cc. Calvary Chapel meets for worship services every Sunday morning at 9:30 at 7711 Brazewood Boulevard in Houston, Texas. We also have a midweek Bible study Wednesday evenings at 7. Thank you for listening, and we hope you will join us again for the next broadcast of The Voice of Truth.